work on the dock. Union went on strike. He's down on his luck. It's tough. So tough.
Yes, that's me fulfilling my my bet obligations.
And me is Chris Towers. I'm Heath Cummings. Clearly, I won the bet last week. Chris did not. Welcome to the Week 4 edition of the Fantasy Football Today DFS podcast. That was fantastic. I mean, Chris, I didn't have a lot of high expectations for pulling that song off, and I think you chose the better part for your voice to sing that.
Yeah, I don't have... I can hit a high note, but not quite the Bon Jovi high note.
Well, no, most people can't. That's why he's John Bon Jovi.
Exactly.
I don't think anybody wanted to hear you actually screaming Living on a Prayer. And if you're listening to this podcast...
It would have been more screeching.
And you don't know what Chris just did, I encourage you to go out there and listen to Bon Jovi Living on a Prayer. The first cassette tape that I ever bought, Slippery When Wet. Let's talk about daily fantasy sports.
See, that's how we know you're older than me.
Okay.
Because...
you weren't born when it came out?
That was like 87?
I wanted to say 85 or 86, yeah, but it may have been 87.
That's multiple years before I was born.
Yeah. Well, that sucks for you, because there's a lot of cool things
cassettes,
that happened then.
You know?
Let's get into three themes of the week, and we'll start with...
By the way. Yes. Should point out, we are recording this on Thursday.
You're always there with the details, Chris.
So there
that's
are
what I
going
love about
to be,
you.
Well, you know, I have hosting experience.
Yes,
so I gotta you gotta have these things
yeah.
in there. So any injury report stuff from Thursday, any news from Thursday or Friday, we might not have it.
Remember when we said last week, just pretend like Chris and I went out Friday afternoon and partied so hard that we blacked out for a day and a half? Same thing, except now it's two and a half days.
2.5 days. We just It was crazy.
And, I mean, it's not. It wouldn't really be that surprising. Chris and I are pretty wild guys. So, backup running backs. Carlos Williams, we think at this point likely to start for LeSean McCoy.
Yes.
Thomas Rawls, 50-50. Both
a coin
of them.
Flip.
If we find out Sunday morning that Williams and Rawls are both starting, I'm going to have plenty of tournament lineups with both in there. How do you feel about these two guys?
I feel great about Carlos Williams.
Yeah.
I think he's... Not a must start, because we've only seen him play three games. He's averaging 7.8 yards per carry. He's been awesome. But
that's good.
He's not going to keep that up. He scored a touchdown in each game. That's not going to. That's probably not going to keep up.
You don't think he's going to score 16 touchdowns this year?
Probably not. You know, I'll take the under.
But
on that.
He scored a touchdown in each game in a backup role. If he gets 20 touches in this one, the odds of him getting a touchdown are pretty good.
And this is a Buffalo team that wants to run the ball.
Yeah,
that's. The way they want to attack teams, they want to run the ball first, set up the pass for Tyrod Taylor, and if they can avoid Tyrod Taylor throwing the ball 25 times, I think that's what they want to do.
There are a lot of similarities in my mind. Both of these young backs run angry.
Yeah.
And they're currently running angrier than the lead backs in front of them.
I will say it's very unlikely, unless Saturday comes around and Marshawn Lynch is doubtful.
Right.
I would say it's very unlikely that I'll have Thomas Rawls.
Yeah, he's going to need to be doubtful.
Yeah.
What if Saturday comes around and he's not practiced yet?
See, that does Marshawn need to practice to play? No.
He doesn't. But, I mean, last week wasn't exactly encouraging. He is older. I don't know that we can put 26-year-old Marshawn Lynch expectations on 29-year-old Marshawn Lynch.
Well, sure, but it's not 26-year-old Marshawn. Like, 28-year-old Marshawn Lynch finished off his season with 5 touchdowns in his last 5 games, including the playoffs, 157 yards, and then 102 yards in his final 2. I don't think we need 26-year-old. Like, it's entirely possible Marshawn Lynch wouldn't be the first running back to look like an elite player and then completely fall off a cliff in the span of one offseason.
Right.
But I probably need more than 2 or 3 games.
Okay, so basically what you want to take out of this are the backup running backs. Chris and I both love Carlos Williams.
Yes.
He's going to be one of the most highly owned backs of the weekend. I would anticipate in cash games, especially I'm going to have him in most of my lineups. Thomas Rawls, unless we get Marshawn Lynch out, Thomas Rawls is a tournament play only. And if Lynch is still questionable, Chris isn't touching him.
And really, it's a tournament-only play if you have to be the type of person that's playing 6 or 7 different lineups at least.
What about 100?
What?
What about 100?
Yes.
Then you can.
I said at least.
Okay.
But if you only have, if you're the type of person that's just casually playing tournaments, you're only doing one or two, I think it's a waste of money to put Thomas Rawls in there.
Unless
you need
Lynch is
a
out.
Lot of variance.
Unless
yeah.
Lynch is out. Okay. Julio, is he too much money? 9,400, arguably the greatest start to a season from a wide receiver that I can ever remember.
I don't think it's. I think it is.
Okay.
Although, I think I read he would need 330 yards in week four to top Josh Gordon's four-week receiving yard record.
I don't think he's going to do that this week.
He might.
I think
I'm not going to put it past him.
I think he's too much money. The reason is I think A.J. Green and Randall Cobb, Green's $1,000 less than Julio. Cobb's $1,200 less than Julio. They both have considerably better matchups than Julio Jones does. And they're not as talented. They're not. I don't think anybody's as talented as Julio Jones right now. But I do think they have a similar upside. And I'm going to play a lot of Green, a lot of Cobb, and probably not very much Julio.
I think you have to have Julio in a cash game, right?
I wouldn't say you have to, no.
Would you expect any other wide receiver? Is there any other wide receiver who has a floor of 20 points?
No. He has the highest floor. But if you're playing Julio in a cash lineup, then you're not getting Green or Cobb, and you're probably not getting Rodgers.
We'll talk later.
Okay.
We will talk about the three claims that you just made we talk about our lineups later.
Okay. Tight end. It's not as much fun. Nothing about the NFL is as much fun without Gronk.
Yeah.
We've got no Gronk this week. Who's your favorite tight end? And we'll get into our favorites by position, but just talking specifically about the tight end position, is there anybody that sticks out to you? I mean, it's just a whole lot of blah.
I think there's one guy who has Gronk upside. And it's not baby Gronk.
No, it's the guy that showed Gronk upside last week,
yeah.
I'd assume.
Greg Olson.
It's
the guy who has 14 catches for 204 yards and two touchdowns over the last 2 weeks, who had a touchdown taken back by penalty in week one.
Right.
I don't think he had one in week two, but he definitely had a touchdown taken back by penalty in week three. I believe both were holding penalties. On plays where he scored.
One of them was his own offensive pass interference.
Yes, you're right. That was the one in week one.
Jack, yeah. Yes. That was the one that caused me to say on last week's show that I wish they would ban pass interference.
And so if we're looking at Greg Olson with four touchdowns and what? 17 catches for 250 yards through three games?
Right.
That's not that far off Gronk.
That's really good. Now, I do think there's some nice, cheaper options at tight end this week.
Absolutely.
Jordan Reed, way too cheap at 5,600. Now, of course, there's a hurricane headed at his game. I think if you're playing the Thursday slate, you couldn't play the Washington-New York game.
Yeah.
But since you're listening to this game on a Saturday, you've already locked your Thursday lineups in. It really just depends. I mean, if they're playing that game, I want a lot of Jordan Reed.
Yes. Although, if they play the game, there could still be some pretty nasty weather.
There could be.
You
don't trust Kirk Cousins in the rain and the wind?
I don't trust Kirk Cousins in a dome.
Okay.
I don't think Kirk Cousins is very good. But I trust Jordan Reed. So that's the only thing is that you... I think if they play, he's probably a good play. 11 plus points in each game so far.
Two other guys going up against defenses that are very bad against tight ends. That's Charles Clay and Martellus Bennett, both 5,500 or less. We'll talk more about them later. Let's get to our top games of the week. The highest projected offense of this week. It only took one good half from Andrew Luck or a matchup against the Jaguars, whichever one you want to say. The Colts against the Jags. Do you trust Luck this week in cash?
I don't think so. I think there are other quarterbacks, $300 more for Aaron Rodgers, or $100 more for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
There's no way you pledge Andrew Luck when you can get Aaron Rodgers for $100 more. I don't see how that's a winning strategy.
I agree 100% with what you said. Aaron Rodgers' worst game so far this year is 22 FanDuel points. Andrew Luck's best game so far this year is 19 FanDuel points. Now,
yeah.
I'm not saying that's his ceiling. I think he probably cracks 20 this week, but it's not guaranteed.
And if you go back to last year's playoffs and the final game of the regular season, the last six games that he's played, one game under 22 fantasy points for Aaron Rodgers.
There are several guys that we'll talk about, largely at the wide receiver position, I feel like, whose price just can't seem to increase quick enough. One of those is Dante Moncrief, the number two receiver in Indianapolis, I think without a doubt at this point.
Yeah.
Still only $6,300. Are you all in on Moncrief at that price?
Hmm. 63 is really good.
Yeah.
He scored a touchdown in each game. However, I think my position on this is pretty well established. I think touchdowns are, to a very large extent, random.
Right.
I think the way I look at it is it's like a random number generator, and some players have a higher chance of scoring.
And he's one of them.
Sure, he plays in a very good offense. He's a big target in an offense that doesn't have a lot of big targets that you can trust in the red zone, especially with, you know, Andre Johnson dying.
And Dwayne Allen.
And Dwayne Allen out.
Yeah.
But if you look at his production, you take out week two, he was great. 7 catches for 122 yards. Week three, 4 catches for 32 yards. Week one, 6 catches for 46 yards. So the production outside of the touchdowns hasn't exactly blown you away. If he doesn't find the end zone and he only gets 50 yards this week, he's not quite a must play.
He's averaging 9 targets per game.
Yes.
You always say you're chasing targets.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a whole bunch. I mean, I have Moncrief in every lineup, but I'm going to have a whole bunch of Moncrief. Any chance at all, Andre Johnson is a value play. His price has fallen to $5,400, the same price as Philip Dorsett.
That seems high still for Andre Johnson.
Okay,
based on what he's done, I look at there are other guys with, like, Ty Montgomery for the Packers is $4,700.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather have him and save the $700. But when you're talking about contrarian plays, you can kind of make an argument for anybody. If Andre Johnson wakes up and has 8 catches for 100 yards and touchdown, you might be the only person that has Andre Johnson in your lineup.
And it wouldn't be, it's not like the least probable thing that could happen this season.
No, I mean, we're not that far removed. The last time he played Jacksonville, actually, last season, he had 10 catches for 134 yards and a touchdown in the final game of the season.
Right.
That's not that long ago.
I think if you're somebody that's putting together 3 or 4 different luck tournament options, then I'd have Andre Johnson in 1 or 2 of them.
I think, again, in a tournament, if you're the type of person who's playing 100 lineups, yeah, I think it makes sense.
Now, I want to talk more this week, especially with the games we're highlighting, about the teams that are going to be chasing the score. Because generally, if you're one of the top projected offenses like the Colts, that means you're favored by a pretty good amount. And, of course, the Colts are favored by a pretty good amount over the Jags. Allen Robinson or Allen Hurns? Which Jaguar Allen do you want?
I think they're both good. I think they're both good plays in a game where they'll be chasing points. Does the Colts defense scare you even a little bit?
Well, Vontae Davis will be on Allen Robinson, right?
He could be, yeah.
And
I'm an Allen Hurns guy. Right. I am kind of, I have a single solitary tent set up on Allen Hurns Island.
I don't think the island is large enough for a tent. Like, you can stand there, but don't plan on walking
around. I've been doing some dredging to build up, because I'm waiting for the bandwagon to show up, because he has 60 receiving yards in each game so far. He was not a consistent option last season, but he did lead the league in the team in targets. Robinson missed a bunch of games.
Robinson led in targets per game.
Yes.
Okay.
But he was over 100 targets for the season. He was a big part of their offense. And he shows big play capabilities.
He's $100 less than Andre Johnson.
I'd rather have Allen Hurns than Andre Johnson.
I'd much rather have Allen Hurns. And I think, and people don't think about this a lot, and I'll say it with the next game we're going to talk about as well. If you're going to put together a Andrew Luck, T.Y. Hilton, Dante Moncrief stack, why not put Allen Hurns as that third wide receiver?
Yeah.
Because if those three guys hit, there's a chance that Jacksonville is just doing nothing but throwing the ball against a defense that has a 4-score lead in the second half.
Yep.
That's when Allen Hurns is at his best.
No TJ Yeldon for you?
Well, with what we just talked about, I know TJ Yeldon doesn't come off the field. I don't think Jacksonville is going to run the ball with any success at all this year.
Yeah.
Even against the Colts. That should become a thing. Like, even against the Colts, I don't like it.
That makes sense.
You brought him up. Sell me on him.
Oh, no. I I get it completely. I don't think they can run the ball. They couldn't run the ball last year. I don't trust that at all.
Let's move on to the Packers at the 49ers. Packers going to be the most popular team this week. The Colts might be the projected to score the most points. I think America believes that the Packers are the best offense to play this week. And why wouldn't you? The 49ers' pass defense is dreadful. Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in the NFL. Randall Cobb is... It's hard to say that one of Aaron Rodgers' targets is underrated. Randall Cobb is underrated.
Yeah.
At $8,200, that's a bargain compared to the
other
guys.
I can't believe it's that low. That seems insane.
He's $900 less than Odell Beckham. I would play Cobb over Beckham at the same price every single day.
He had one mediocre game to open the season. He still had 38 catches.
And he was hurt then.
38 yards for a touchdown.
38 catches would be a good game.
That would be a very good game. The last two, 15 catches, 207 yards, three touchdowns. He's awesome.
You can just give yes or no on this one because everybody knows what your stance is on James Jones. You don't like TD-reliant players. But at some point, when a guy consistently gets red zone targets from Aaron Rodgers, do you buy into the fact that it's okay to play TD-reliant James Jones?
My bigger thing is more the Davante Adams injury and the fact that he actually played like a wide receiver in Week 3. He had 7 catches for 139 yards. Before that, and pretty much throughout his entire career, he's given you the production of a tight end.
So you're holding on to the back of the James Jones bandwagon, just trying to crawl.
Just digging my heels in, trying to...
No, you're trying to crawl on, it sounds like. Sounds like you're trying to crawl
on. I'm saying his role has changed. My opinion of him before was based on a role where he was used like a tight end. He was getting 40 yards per game, and if he scored a touchdown, he was awesome.
He always scored a touchdown.
It doesn't matter. And the problem is, when you have that as a tight end, when you have Martellus Bennett or Kyle Rudolph getting you that production, it's in a tight end slot where you're not losing the opportunity cost of having a good player.
Are we overlooking Eddie Lacy? Because everybody's talking about this passing attack and how bad the 49ers are against the pass. Lacy, assuming he's 100%, which we believe he is, I think, at this point, or close enough to it. $7,800, that's way too cheap for a fully healthy Eddie Lacy against a bad defense, right?
And do we have any evidence that he's been bad this season? I don't think so. 4.4 yards per carry, that's right in line with what he did last season. He was at 4.6 last year.
The thing I was impressed with against Kansas City is he was very involved in the passing game. Three catches for 41 yards.
And he's a decent receiver. He's not a great one. He's not exactly the most sleek guy, which is what you usually... He's not Darren Sproles.
Do you remember Eddie Lacy's rookie year when the picture came out from training camp that showed him looking like he was like 150 pounds overweight?
Yes. He's just a big dude.
As I was watching that game, I was amazed. It really just depends on what angle you look at Eddie Lacy. Like, after I saw a different picture of Eddie Lacy, I was like, oh, well, that was just Photoshopped. It wasn't Photoshopped.
No, it wasn't.
There are certain angles where he looks kind of like Santa Claus in the midsection, and then others where he looks like a running back.
He's a big dude.
He's a lot to tackle, and there's one good defensive player on the 49ers team, Norah Bowman.
Mm-hmm.
That may hurt him in the running game. So I'm not going to have a ton of Lacy.
I think we've seen a lot of throwing on the goal line from the Packers this season.
Right.
I think 3 of their touchdowns last week, I think all the Randall Cobb ones came within like 8 yards of the goal line, at least 2 of them. That's not going to, they'll do that, but it's not like they're going to throw the ball every time they get down there. There's going to be goal line opportunities for Eddie Lacy also.
Right.
It's an opportunity to get a very good back in a high-powered offense in a game that you think they might run the ball a lot.
Okay. I love me some Colin Kaepernick this week. He was awful last week. Threw 4 interceptions, 2 pick sixes. Terrible. But this Packers team just gave up more than 20 fantasy points to Alex Smith. Kaepernick's running the ball on the pace for 700 rushing yards this year.
How about this one?
Okay.
In 4 games against the Packers.
Oh, I hate player versus team stats, but this is going to help me.
No, but it's not like... I hate player versus team stats when it's like Frank Gore. Okay. In his career against the Cardinals, because the Cardinals, for large stretches of Frank Gore's career, were not great defensively. And he's in a different team. He's 30. Like, okay. I get that.
Okay.
This is Colin Kaepernick. Like, this is the last 3 seasons. Okay. Against a A Green Bay defense that hasn't had a lot. Like, Green Bay's not a team that turns their roster over a bunch. They don't get they're not involved in free agency ever, really. They're a team that values continuity. Consistency yeah. and continuity. He averages 79.5 rushing yards per game,
mm-hmm.
8 touchdowns in 4 games, 225 passing yards. I think Colin Kaepernick's a great tournament play.
Yeah, I'm going to have a lot of him. And I think, I mean, you could put Bolden with him too. I'll probably put Smith with him more just because Smith has the chance to catch the 65-yard touchdown that yep. meets value in one play.
Yep.
Moving on to the Falcons and the Texans. Yes, the Falcons are the third highest projected scoring offense, but it's really just Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and nobody else you want to start against the Texans, isn't it? I'm not starting Devontae Freeman.
Why not?
At 7,200, his price went up more than 10%.
It should have gone up.
The Texans' run defense is not bad.
It's not bad, but it's not great.
You still
like him. They're a middle-of-the-road team when it comes to yards per carry allowed.
Okay.
He's going to get a ton of work in on a team that might score a lot. He had 13 touches in week 1. Tevin Coleman goes down. He has 16 touches in week 2. 35 in week 3. He'll never have 35 touches again in his life.
No.
But if you can guarantee 17 touches for Devontae Freeman...
Well, okay. If you guarantee 17 touches for the Devontae Freeman we've seen every week of his career except for last week,
sure,
it's worthless.
I don't agree that it's worthless.
17 touches will turn into about 55 yards.
He's a good pass catcher.
Okay.
He has what, 12 catches in 3 games.
So 4 of those touches are receptions.
He'll never come off the field.
Right.
He's going to get any goal line work that they get. We saw that last week.
That's true.
They don't have another option in the running game. So I'm not saying he's a must-play, but at 7,200, it's not like he's outrageously priced. It's not like they saw him score 39.8 FanDuel points last week and said, all right, he's a number one running back now.
Okay, one guy we didn't talk about from the highest scoring game that we really should have, that's $100 more, Frank Gore. No way I'm playing Devontae Freeman over Frank Gore. Melvin Gordon, 6,800, I think I'd rather have him.
Hasn't Frank Gore looked just as bad as you think Devontae Freeman has?
Are you talking about over the first 2 games of the season?
The first three.
He didn't look that bad last week.
He was fine last week.
Right. The first 2 games of the season, he looked awful.
Mm-hmm.
The whole offense looked awful, and they played the Bills and the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Gore is a guy that has a career of looking like a good running back.
Sure, he's also 32.
Devontae Freeman is a guy that has a career of
So let me get this right.
Yes.
We're writing... let's go into the mind of a Heath Cummings for a second.
Okay.
We're writing off Marshawn Lynch at 29.
No. I didn't write him off.
A season after, he's beast mode.
Right.
We're crying and yelling. We're gnashing our teeth an entire offseason that they didn't give him the ball on the 1 yard line.
Right. I didn't do any of this.
We're writing Marshawn Lynch off entirely. Marshawn Lynch should retire.
Who said
is
that?
What Heath Cummings said.
No.
But Frank Gore is in the prime of his life.
I don't think that's an accurate representation of what I said.
I think it's the most accurate representation.
I said that I don't think he's going to play this week, and I'm going to play Thomas Rawls because of it. I would definitely play an active Frank Gore over an inactive Marshawn Lynch. And Marshawn Lynch,
I think that's crazy,
is $1,300 more than Frank Gore.
Right. But I'm talking about Devontae Freeman.
I lost you.
Well, no. I know.
Okay.
I think Devontae Freeman is just as likely as Frank Gore to get goal line carries. Because I think this Falcons offense is really good.
Okay.
They have Julio Jones, who is a great red zone threat. But beyond that, I'm not trusting Leonard Hankerson or Roddy White to get red zone looks. I'm not trusting Levine Tololo. I'm not trusting Anton Smith. Devontae Freeman's second on the hierarchy. And if you think they're going to score a lot, 7,200 is not a bad price for him.
Okay. I'm not enthused, but you are. So now they've seen both sides, and somehow I hate Marshawn Lynch. Who Ryan Mallett's going to throw the ball a ton again. When Ryan Mallett throws the ball a lot, he generally comes pretty close to value, I think, at 6,300. I'd expect he's going to score somewhere between 15 and 20 fantasy points. As long as you can pick the guy that he's going to have success through the air with.
And there's only one guy.
There is, except for I feel like Atlanta has a decent chance. If they decide they want to shut DeAndre Hopkins down with Ryan Mallett at quarterback, I think they can. If they make that decision, I think Nate Washington could benefit.
It's possible. I think it's Desmond Trufant that they have there. Yeah. He's good.
He's really good.
He's a really good corner. If they wanted to shut DeAndre Hopkins down, they could. On the other hand, if the Texans have to throw the ball 40 times, you don't think DeAndre Hopkins can get 7 or 8 catches out of that?
He should.
He's done it 2 out of 3 games so far.
Right.
20, and it's not just, he's done 20 plus fantasy points.
I'm probably going to have a Mallett Hopkins Washington stick.
I think that makes sense.
They're going to be playing from behind. And that one, because everybody else is so cheap, that one you could play Julio in.
Yeah.
And maybe even Devontae Freeman. It's funny because my best lineups last week had Julio and Devontae Freeman.
Well, of course they did. I think the best lineups had to have had those two guys.
Probably. Probably. Okay, Seahawks, once again in the top 5 projected offenses, although these are team projected totals, and I do feel like the reason they get projected up there with these offenses is because their defense is probably going to score 7 points, or their special teams.
Yeah, we're Lockett or you know, Matt Stafford throws a ball.
You all in on the Seattle defense, Tyler Lockett stick?
I think that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, nobody's all in on it, but
I think it's a sensible because you have to spend up to get the Seattle defense, but that's an easy way to save money at wide receiver to do it.
Right. We talked about roles. What if we find out Sunday morning Marshawn Lynch is fine? He drank some of that water that Russell Wilson drinks.
No, the recovery water.
Recovery water. And all of a sudden, he's okay. Nothing hurts anymore. He's going to play. He's 100%. I'm not touching Marshawn Lynch at 8,600 against the Lions defense. Are you?
No.
Okay.
I don't think you can play him.
Any Lions, even in a tournament?
Golden Tate.
You really think this defense lets him beat them? After everything that happened, I'm afraid Golden Tate might, like, get decapitated.
I don't think Golden Tate's going to get the Richard Sherman treatment.
Well, whoever lines up in front of Richard Sherman gets the treatment. He doesn't move.
No, they've moved him around this season.
Okay.
That is, they don't trust. Maybe it's different with Cam Chancellor back, but in the first 2 games of the season, they didn't trust their nickel corner to play on the inside. He was a guy who, I can't remember his name, but he was a guy who is more comfortable playing outside, so they were, I think, in the first week he played 14 or 15 snaps in the slot, so they have been moving Richard Sherman around.
Well, if they just move him around on Calvin Johnson the whole time, then they're going to put somebody on Golden Tate, and every time Golden Tate catches the ball, Cam Chancellor is going to launch his body at Golden Tate.
Golden Tate's a tough dude.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I don't. Let's look at the
other. It's 6,600.
Let's look at the other bad offenses, because the Lions are projected to be the worst offense of the week, scoring less than 17 points. Other teams projected to score less than 21. The Bears. I don't hate the Bears this week. The Chiefs, the Texans, the Giants, the Jags, the Bucks, the Vikings, the Rams, and the Lions. I kind of don't hate the Bears.
I like some Bears.
I like Forte.
I always like Forte.
Martellus Bennett's going up against a team
that's
that just got torched by Gary Barnage.
No, and not just Gary Barnage. The whole season. I think they've given up 5 touchdowns to tight ends.
Mm-hmm.
Like 280 yards, 25 catches.
Right.
They've been absolutely demolished by tight ends, including 1 touchdown per game.
Okay, we've talked before about not chasing points on this show and on lots of other shows we do around here. It doesn't do you any good how many points they scored last week or how many they're averaging through 3 weeks. It's what they're going to do this week. The finest example of that is at kicker this week. Josh Brown averaging 13 FanDuel points. He's been the minimum price.
Yeah.
He's finally gone up to 4,800, which is still pretty reasonable. I don't like him at all. Like, this is the time where you decide, okay, I'm going to start Josh Brown. He's scoring all these points, and the Bills are going to dominate this Giants offense, and he's not going to have a good day. What do you think of that?
He's averaging 3 field goal attempts per game. That's high for anybody.
Right.
You know, nobody kicks 48 field goals in a season. So, just even if it wasn't the Buffalo Bills, you would have to assume that he's going to slow down.
Right.
But the Bills' defense is really good.
Yeah. As long as they aren't playing New England.
But that's what makes me think that the Giants might have more success than you would ever otherwise think, because it's not like they want to rely on Andre Williams.
They can't run the ball.
They want to throw the ball. Yeah, and they have to.
I think they'd like to. I think Tom Coughlin would like to run the ball.
Sure.
They have no ability to
run
the ball.
They can't do it.
No.
But they're good throwing the ball. Odell Beckham helps in that regard, but Reuben Randle had a big game last week.
I'd have triple coverage on Odell Beckham and make Reuben Randle beat me.
That's probably smart.
I don't even know if he's going to run to the right place half the time. Okay, final in the top five offenses, the Chargers making their first appearance against the Browns at home. Rivers to Keenan Allen, right up there is one of my favorite stacks. Rivers only 7,500, Allen only 77. And no, they're not a good cash play, either one of them, because they're all over the board.
Yeah.
But at that price, you don't find that type of upside.
Coming into the season, I bought into the Keenan Allen bounce back season, week one. We saw it. Week two, it didn't happen.
No, that's an understatement.
But his overall production is fantastic.
It ends this week. This is his last chance. He's gonna do all kinds of things this week, because once Antonio Gates comes back, he doesn't get the ball anymore.
I don't think that's true.
Right, but all of his best games have come when Gates wasn't 100%. Or there.
He was really good as a rookie. And it's not like Gates wasn't a factor at his rookie season. So I think with Keenan Allen, we kind of overreacted to his bad second season. We forgot that this was a guy who was supposed to be a first-round pick, got hurt leading up to the draft, and fell to the third. So the talent and pedigree are there, and we've seen him produce very good production.
Now, I've started to buy into this, apparently, because I said his name already on the show. Dave and Jamie have said his name repeatedly this week. Melvin Gordon, lots of people talking about him. The Browns' run defense is awful. Everybody expects this is when Melvin Gordon breaks out and has a monster performance. So once again, Danny Woodhead, who's outperformed Gordon pretty much all year and is $700 less, is the contrarian play at running back. I don't really get that. Like, I'm going to play some Gordon, but I might play more Woodhead again.
It's just, what do you think? How do you think this game goes? Do you think they run the ball a lot?
I think they would really like to run the ball a lot.
Well, then Melvin Gordon's the guy.
I think there is a chance. Well, the problem is, if Melvin Gordon comes out in the first quarter and isn't productive, then I think they may just run the ball with Danny Woodhead.
See, I don't think they're going to run the ball with Danny Woodhead. Like, that's not what they're going to do. They're not going to give Danny Woodhead 15 carries. Like, I will say that with – I like to hedge my bets, but I will say with 100% certainty they're not going to give Danny Woodhead 15 carries.
I mean, he had 12 in week one.
He had 13 in week one and 3 receptions, which is great. When was the last time he had more than 8? It's been a long time.
It was been 2013 because he missed all of 2014.
Sure.
For 3 games.
But he's not someone that's going to get 15 carries. Like, it doesn't happen.
No, he won't get 15 carries.
He'll get 5 and maybe 6 or 7 receptions.
He could get 7 or 8.
They're not going to run the ball with Danny Woodhead.
They could get
6 or 7
carries.
So if you think they want to run the ball in this game,
right?
I think you have to go with Melvin Gordon. Now, that being said, Danny Woodhead is always a viable play because he's going to be involved in the passing game, and this is a team that likes to throw the ball short.
And he's their red zone back.
He's not.
He is.
He's not their red zone back.
Yeah.
That's based on 2 touchdowns that he scored in week 1.
Right.
Where Melvin Gordon almost scored on one of those drives. He actually did score, and they called it back.
Right.
So if Danny Woodhead had 1 touchdown and Melvin Gordon had 1 touchdown, there would
Melvin Gordon have a lot of plays in the red zone?
There would be no talk of Danny Woodhead as their goal line back.
Does he have 1 play from the red zone this year?
I don't know. Can you look it up?
I'm looking at his play logs. I have not found... he had 1 from the opponent's 21. I do not see a play that Melvin Gordon has been in on inside of the red zone.
Okay. Look, if you think that they want to run the ball with Danny Woodhead,
I'm not saying they want to run the ball with Danny Woodhead. I do think he's their red zone back.
I don't agree.
What evidence do you have that he's never played in the red zone?
I'm not sure we have a lot of evidence either way. How many plays have they run? That's what we would have to see. How many plays have they run? How many has Woodhead been in? How many has Gordon been in? That would be what we would need to see. But and it's entirely possible that you're right, and Danny Woodhead has 90% of their red zone snaps. I just find that very doubtful. I find it doubtful that that would continue.
By my math, they've run 9 plays in 3 weeks in the opponent's red zone.
Okay.
And all 9 plays have gone to Danny Woodhead.
Okay.
But that is just plays that the running backs were involved on, too.
Exactly. So it's entirely possible that Melvin Gordon's been in the game. It's...
I don't think you can... If
the evidence so far points to you being right.
If
and
playing,
I'll defer to that.
Right. If you're playing Melvin Gordon, you need to think you're going to get a 100-yard game. I don't think you can count on a touchdown is all I'm saying. The Chargers have been terrible against the run also.
Yes.
Though. Everybody's focusing on how bad the Browns have been against the run.
4.9 yards per carry.
I know
28th most yards.
I know you really like Isaiah Crowell. You're not going to play him this week, though, are you? After that debacle last week?
It was a similar situation where you thought he had a good matchup.
Right.
Things didn't go that way.
Right.
But it's also not like Duke Johnson's out here taking a bunch of the work either. He was involved in the passing game late. I think on their last drive he had like two or three receptions. I think if you think they can run the ball, Isaiah Crowell's the guy. And I think the talent is there for them to run the ball. I'm just not sure this game is going to allow them to.
We've only seen like 3 times ever Crowell get 15 carries.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like him. They don't like any running backs they have, but they don't like him.
I think they like him more than any of the other guys they have right now.
I think they like Duke Johnson's more, but they don't believe that Duke Johnson could stay healthy. It's kind of like the way Bruce Arians used to feel about Andre Ellington. They're probably right. I don't think Duke Johnson can handle a workload. I'm probably going to just fade the Browns offense.
Okay. I might have Isaiah Crowell. He burned me last week, and that...
You've got to have a short memory.
Yeah.
Okay. Give me your favorite sneaky stack.
Raiders. I don't know if it's that sneaky coming off a big game, but they're all cheap, pretty much. None of them are priced as elite options, and I think they might have 2 guys who can finish at least in the top 10 in their position.
I sent out a tweet last night. Somebody had asked me for my favorite stacks, so I listed 4 obvious ones and 3 others that I like. The Raiders weren't one of them, but I don't dislike the Raiders. I think they're fine. But I got 3 responses to that tweet within the first 5 minutes that said, what about the Raiders?
Yeah. Derek Carr for 7,000. Latavius Murray for 7,500, who's coming off, what, 2 straight 130-yard games.
I love Latavius Murray this
week. Amari Cooper for 7,200, who, like, legitimately looks unguardable.
Yeah.
Like, he looks exactly as good as we thought he could be coming out.
I think Cooper, Larry Fitzgerald at 7,400, and Dante Moncrief at 6,300 are the 3 best values at wide receiver this week.
But what about Michael Crabtree? He's getting red zone looks.
Yeah.
4 catches in each game at least, including 9 in week 2. Now, the production wasn't there in week 1 or week 3, but if we think this Bears defense is as bad as they look, 5,800 is not bad. Combining him and Amari Cooper for 13,000 is not a terrible look.
I'm not going to play any Amari Cooper. He did have
Michael Crabtree. You mean.
Yeah, I'm going to play a lot of Amari Cooper. I'm not going to play any Michael Crabtree at all. Favorite cash game plays. You give me yours. I'll probably just get to give mine because they'll probably be different. But if not, I didn't give a sneaky stat.
No, you didn't.
I think I've talked about them enough already. It's the 49ers against the Packers at home. I think the Packers are going to score a ton of points, but they're not great defensively, especially in the secondary. I expect Cap to have a big game.
I think that makes sense.
Okay, give me your favorite cash game play at quarterback.
Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, I filled out...
Cash game play, I feel like, is just the most obvious player.
I'm going to go with Cam in the places that I don't use Rodgers in cash. Yeah. So
I think that makes sense.
Yeah, I like Cam.
$8,300 for Cam is a nice price.
But I'm going to have Rodgers in a lot more. Running back.
Jamal Charles and Devontae Freeman.
I'm going to go with Latavius Murray.
Okay.
I think the Bears' defense is bad enough, and Murray is getting a lot of work. Jamal Charles, I didn't play enough of him last week. But I stand by that decision. That was a bad game script.
Yeah.
He was not good if he doesn't get those touchdowns.
Sure.
He was touchdown dependent last week.
Almost 5 yards per carry.
But he didn't get enough carries because of the game script. Okay, wide receiver.
Randall Cobb and AJ Green.
Yeah. Yeah, Cobb would have been my first choice. Green would have been my second choice. I'll drop down to the lower tier and say it's Fitzgerald and Amari Cooper.
Makes sense.
Those two guys. So I think if you have three of those four, you're going to be the chalkiest at the wide receiver, which in cash games isn't always a bad thing.
Yeah.
You don't have to differentiate yourself. Generally, the people that try to differentiate themselves are the ones that lose to the chalk.
You don't need 170 points in cash.
Nope. No, usually if you get 120, you're in good shape, except for last week. Tight end.
Greg Olsen.
Yeah, Greg Olsen.
He's the safest option. I have no problem playing Jimmy Graham. I just think he's a little more of a tournament play.
Yeah.
I think he's much more touchdown dependent.
I don't want any part at all of Travis Kelce this week. The Bengals have been really good against tight ends so far, and I don't understand what the Chiefs are doing on offense right now. Contrarian plays. Give me your favorite contrarian quarterback, not named Derek Carr.
Ryan Mallett.
Yep.
At Atlanta, 6,300.
I was going to say Kaepernick or Mallett. Love both those guys this week. Running back?
Isaiah Crowell at San Diego.
What?
6,400.
Oh.
4.9 yards per carry allowed for San Diego.
I'm going to stick with Lance Dunbar.
Okay.
I think
it is a half-point PPR scoring format.
I think he's 5,400. He was a great play last week. Last week he was 4,900. I think he scored 15 vantage goal points.
You know who else I think is a decent contrarian play? Jeremy Hill.
Jamie was saying that earlier. I don't like it at all. And I know why you're saying it. I think he's talented. I think he'll get back on track. The only good thing about this Chiefs defense is their defense against the run up the middle.
Yeah. No, it's not that I think Jeremy Hill is going to have a good game. I think it's just the chance and that nobody's going to play him based on what we've seen lately.
I say that. The Chiefs pass rush is good too, but it doesn't really affect a running
But like Giovanni Bernard is dominating the snap count for them right now. I think he has 30. He's played 30 more plays than Jeremy Hill this season.
I thought a year ago that Giovanni Bernard was better than Jeremy Hill. Jeremy Hill was better last year. Bernard looks better again.
It seems like we're seeing the same thing that happened last year, where Giovanni was an awesome player, a second-round pick, or a third-round pick he was. And he just lost his role because of an injury in a couple bad weeks. But it's not like he doesn't have the talent.
Favorite contrarian wide receiver?
I'm going really weird with these.
Okay.
We already talked about Allen Hurns.
Yeah.
At 5,300.
You're going to say Marquise Lee.
I'm not.
Okay, good. Good.
And it's a little weather dependent. I don't think Washington has a good pass defense.
All right.
This guy leads his team in snaps at the wide receiver position.
Okay.
Nelson Agholor.
Oh.
If you want a really contrarian play and you're throwing out 30, 40 lineups, why not put one in there with Nelson Agholor, who leads the team in snaps at wide receiver, led the team in snaps last week at wide receiver. The production hasn't been there. I agree. He's been awful. Four catches for 38 yards.
I don't even know if he has. I haven't watched enough because they don't generally show you on TV the guy that's running routes and doesn't get the ball thrown to him. So I haven't seen him enough to see if he's even been bad. It may just be that Sam Bradford's been bad. I don't hate that. It's certainly contrarian. I don't feel like mine's even contrarian anymore because you went so far out there. But Marvin Jones, 5,500.
I think there's going to be a lot of people with Marvin Jones. That's the reason I didn't go with him.
Okay.
That one makes a lot of sense, though.
Maybe there will be. If Marcus Cooper is on Marvin Jones, he may go for 200 yards. And tight end, I don't know if anything's really contrarian when Gronk doesn't play. Because, like, who knows who's going to – But
Jared Cook for me. Arizona blitzes a lot. I think teams that blitz a lot are susceptible to tight ends. I don't like Jared Cook.
No, he hurt me last week.
He's really up and down.
Right.
But I think teams that blitz a lot leave the middle of the field open a lot, and there's potential for Jared Cook to find big plays.
Let's jump straight into now. We're gonna keep the contest going, right?
Yeah,
the head to head contest.
Definitely.
But we're not going to sing next week.
No.
We are asking you, the listeners, to tweet us your best ideas. Now, this is something we need to be able to do on the podcast.
Yeah.
So it's not like do push-ups or anything that wouldn't be entertaining. If there's something you think would be good, it could be something we have to do on Twitter.
Yeah.
It could be something we have to do on the podcast.
Yeah, maybe one of us has to change our Twitter avatar. There's an idea.
Right. But it's also, it needs to be appropriate. So send us your suggestions at Heath Cummings Sr. or at C Towers CBS. Who's in your lineup this week?
You said that you had to go really cheap at running back to get the Rodgers-Jones-Cobb combination.
Uh-huh.
Aaron Rodgers is my quarterback. Carlos Williams is my running back. Latavius Murray is my other running back. Ty Montgomery is my third wide receiver. Julio Jones, Randall Cobb. Martellus Bennett, Josh Lambeau, the Chargers kicker, and okay. The Denver Broncos defense.
That is good. I like it. It's not much more normal than last week was. Last week,
the way I look at it is I'm going to assume you spend a lot more time thinking about daily fantasy than I do. I have to broaden my scope during the week, and then when we get to this tournament or this podcast, I shrink it down.
Right.
So I kind of view playing against you as a tournament. I need to go for the higher score to beat you.
Okay.
So that's why last week was weird.
All right. Well, I've got kind of, I think, a little bit of a weird lineup. I had three cash lineups, so I had to choose which one to play against you. And I'm just trying to make sure right now that I say the right one, because there it is. Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
Carlos Williams and Latavius Murray.
So there's a wash.
There's a wash. Randall Cobb.
Okay.
So it's
going to come down to Julio Jones and Ty Montgomery against your two wide receivers.
Larry Fitzgerald and Dante Moncrief.
Okay.
I have Charles Clay at tight end.
Okay.
Against Martellus. I have Chandler Catanzaro at kicker and the Arizona Cardinals defense.
Okay.
So it's going to be closer.
Yeah.
Because basically the first four players don't matter.
Pretty much.
And you'll find that a lot in cash games, I think.
Absolutely.
Please, though, do send us some good suggestions. Otherwise, I think we'll just have to sing again if we don't get a really good suggestion. I don't know what we'll sing.
Well, we'll have to figure it out if nobody gives us a good suggestion. So give us a good suggestion. I don't think anybody wants to hear us sing.
And we gave you those Twitter handles at Heath Cummings Sr., at CTowersCBS. Because this is done on a Thursday this week, if you have questions once you've listened to it about specific plays, feel free to get at us. I'm sure we'll get you answered. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
See ya.